This is Scott Owen with the Asheville FM News Team, and I have in the studio with me Greg Borum. He is the Director of Advocacy at Children First Communities and Schools. Is that right?
That is our full name, yes.
All right. Well, welcome, Greg. It's been quite a while since you and I have visited.
It has. It's good to be back here with you.
Well, thank you. Let's get started. What's up?
Well, lots of things are on our plate right now. Children First Communities and Schools has both direct services and we do public policy advocacy. And I'd like to just start off by talking about something that impacts our direct services. We have a family resource center that's over on the campus of Emma Elementary School. And out of that, we have a food pantry that serves about 700 families annually. And next Friday, June 8th, we are doing our annual summer food drive to help stock that pantry for the summer. It's an important time because so many kids who rely on the school meals program are out of school. And we're very fortunate that Buncombe County has a summer meals program that serves a lot of children, but we also see an increased demand for food boxes.
Okay, let me go back for a minute. Are these people specifically in the school? Or are they people outside of the school as well that you're providing food for?
Yes, our Family Resource Center serves families primarily with children. We do have a policy that we won't turn anyone away for a first-time food box who shows up. But in terms of receiving food boxes in the future, we ask that it be for families with children. And so a lot of those children are in the public schools as well. What we know is that in our public school systems between the city of Asheville and Buncombe County, that over 50% of children are receiving the free and reduced meals program at school. So that speaks to this huge need that I think people don't realize that our schools are really a frontline place to fight childhood hunger. And so when, you know, weekends come, when holidays come, and especially when the summertime comes, a lot of children really face a lot of uncertainty of where they'll be receiving healthy meals from. And so our food pantry obviously can't end hunger in Western North Carolina, but it's a piece of the puzzle along with advocating for good policy change around food stamps, or known as SNAP, and around the school meals program.
I don't remember the statistics, but I know that they were pretty bleak. Buncombe County was one of the worst in the country, is that right, for a while there?
In terms of
needy people needing food.
Right. We know that in Buncombe County right now, the latest data we've seen is that one in four children are considered food insecure. And that equates to about 12,000 children in our county. And that's a mind-boggling number, really.
It is.
And it's
unacceptable to my mind, yeah.
It's very unacceptable. Right. Yeah, so next Friday, June 8th, WLOS each year has partnered with us to do a food drive. We'll be down at the Carolina Furniture Concepts location, which is down on Long Shoals Road. Carolina Furniture Concepts has been a big supporter of this work, too. You can come by all day long and drop food off. And then the other great thing is that Carolina Furniture Concepts is doing a matching donation program. So they'll match any donations that people might want to give for our work at that time, too. So it's a great opportunity for dropping by some food to help families through the summer, as well as supporting the work that we do year-round.
So they're taking food, like canned food, and then also money?
Exactly. So bring non-perishable items, and we will be boxing them up and putting them away for our food pantry to get through the summer.
Now, some people who might want to donate can't necessarily get over to Long Shoals Road. What can they do? Is there someplace they can send you a check to? Or?
Sure. You can always find us online. That's Children First, CISBC.org. You can call our office, 828-259-9717, and we'll be happy to talk about places you can make donations of food or donations of money all year long. And if you're interested in volunteering with us, you can talk to us about that too.
Okay, great. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. The other thing that we do is our public policy advocacy work, and we do that work under what we call the success equation, and we work with a lot of other fantastic nonprofits and organizations across Buncombe County who care about policy as it impacts children and families. Particularly, I'd like to talk about our work around housing affordability and early childhood funding right now. Those are some very time-sensitive issues. First of all, with early childhood, North Carolina has just passed up an amazing opportunity to serve a lot more children through the child care subsidy program. And we're very disappointed in this, and I just want to get that out to your listeners. The North Carolina legislature, when it did its state budget this year, cut off all debate, cut off any chance for amendments. It was done behind closed doors by a small group of legislators and then brought out for an up and down vote. In that process, they decided to take about $74 million of federal funds that were coming from the federal government under the Trump administration to help our state expand services to early child to the early childhood area. That included our NC Pre-K program and the Child Care Subsidy program. Our state basically displaced state money with that federal money, and instead of expanding the program to reach maybe an estimated 9,000 more children, they've really shrunken the scope of what they could have done with that funds. And it's a real missed opportunity, and it's something that listeners should be aware of and really be part of the conversation in this next election season on why that was done and what legislators plan to do moving forward with serving children in that, you know, birth to five range.
Well, you say why it was done is a question, and this is because it was all done behind closed doors. We have no idea why it was done, do we? We can just only guess.
That's true. We may never know the full story on how the deals that showed up in the budget were made. And I think that it's really important to have conversations about the budget process. This is the biggest bill that comes out of our state legislature every year. And to for the first time ever, to do it in a way that has no chance for amendments and floor debate really undermines what I would consider to be, you know, fundamental concepts of democracy, and it ultimately ends up hurting children.
Well, it's very interesting. A lot of attention is going to, you know, our national situation, and it's kind of, you know, taking all the attention away from some of these things that are happening on a state level as well. But it could be said that what's happening on a state level is equal in alarming. You know, the quality of it's being alarming, and its need for citizens to become aware of what's happening and to try to act accordingly. So thank you for bringing that up to our attention.
Sure, and I really agree with you. I think that part of what is happening with so much news and attention being at the federal level is that folks, it's just hard to keep up with it all. There's just so much information coming at us, but I think that we really need to step up and understand how government works at the state and then city and county levels if we're going to really reclaim democracy and build the next generation of advocates. And to that end, we held a budgeting 101 workshop with our partners at Just Economics, the YWCA, Beloved House, and Mountain True I think that was in May. Time's running fast, but we hope to do that again, and that was a chance to have community members come out and really learn how these local budgets are created, what the process is, how to pay attention to it, and how to engage as advocates. And so stay tuned for that coming back up. We hope to maybe run it again next fall.
Well, that's for those of us who care about the needy and the amongst us, and especially the needy children. That is some sad news. Let's get back to what. What else is going on? What are you all doing besides this?
Sure. So we've really seen a lot of interest and activity and advocacy around the issue of housing affordability in Buncombe County.
Housing, there's another one.
Yeah, folks know this is an issue. You don't have to, just say housing costs in Asheville, and people are right there with you on how difficult it is to find safe and affordable housing here. We've seen the city of Asheville taking a lot of steps to plan and put money towards that. The bond that was passed a couple years ago is about to come online and direct money towards affordable housing in the city. The county has put a lot of money into housing affordability projects. Some of the headline ones that people may remember were that partnership with Evelyn for the teachers' housing.
Right.
There's also funds that they've put towards a lot of other projects in the past to help build out more units, and that's great. But we think that the county, with the bigger budget size, and now with housing affordability being one of their strategic priority areas, really it's time for them to step up at a different level. And so we're advocating for this budget cycle that the county start moving towards creating a very robust housing trust fund that would be local control dollars to help leverage housing development, home ownership, home repair. And we think that over a 3-year period, the county should really aim to have that equate to about a penny per $100 of tax value of property. And at current dollars, that would be a trust fund of about $3.6 million. And so we're advocating that this year in their budget, they take that first step towards getting there. And we'd love for listeners who are excited by that idea to call the county. Their public budget hearing is June 4th, and the budget will be approved later in June. So get on the phone with your county commissioners and talk about allocating funds for the county housing trust.
The city of Asheville has just reached these heights that we're all familiar with as far as affordability goes, and a lot of the action is moving out into the county now, I would assume. Do you think people are aware of how important what's happening in our county government? I mean, it seems like most of the focus in Asheville is on Asheville City and not so much on the county commission.
I think there's always been that interesting kind of where do people pay attention in terms of local government. And, the city of Asheville is part of the county of Buncombe. And so, if you live in Asheville, you also live in Buncombe County. So you've got both governments representing you. But I do agree that, Asheville City gets a lot more of the headlines and people following issues there. Mm-hmm. Although I'd say that, over this past year, the county has been on the, tracked a little more closely maybe than previously for folks.
People are becoming more aware.
Yeah. And I think that we've got, this county commission has set some really exciting strategic priorities that from where we sit, two of our main issues showed up in there, which is early childhood and housing affordability. And so this is a county commission that I think is really ready to, shown interest in leading on these issues. And I think that that's a great opportunity for, people and advocates to show up because, you can talk about what your priorities are, but when you look at the budget, that's kind of really, it shows how much money you're spending on each of those priorities. And so that's a real kind of litmus test of, is this just lip service, or are we putting our money where our talk is? And this is a great advocacy moment for that.
All right, Greg, what else do you have for us today?
Well, those are the kind of hot issues. I encourage everyone who cares about issues impacting children and families to check out our website where we do this advocacy work, which is successequation.org. And we have on there our policy agenda. We're following and advocating on issues beyond housing and early childhood, things like children's health, access to health insurance, perinatal, prenatal health care, transit, expanding public transit in Asheville and Buncombe County. We have a very kind of broad and encompassing policy agenda, and we always love for people to get engaged with us. There's ways that you can sign up to receive our alerts. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. But we try to follow these policies, translate them in language that people can understand, and then give people ways that they can take action and engage on them. And so that's an open right. invite to your listeners.
Well, you mentioned, three things there: transportation, housing, food. These things are all interconnected. And you also mentioned some of the other nonprofit organizations here in town that you are working with. Do you find that as of late that you're doing even, better cross-communication with the other organizations? Do you think that that's been stepping up lately, the way that you're all communicating with each other?
I do. I think that we are fortunate in Buncombe County to have so many nonprofit organizations that understand that direct service is not where it ends. It's a important piece of their work every day, but that if we're going to see broader change and really change the reason that families and children are needing these direct services, we've got to address public policy and we've got to show up in that space. And as a result, there's a lot of communication. We partner with so many different organizations around a variety of issues. And I think that that's just been growing, and I hope it will continue to grow, because nonprofits, their volunteers, the people that they work with, their board members, they have a lot of reach. And if we can help folks see that that's an important piece of the mission that they do, and help to equip and build skills for advocacy across all those folks that nonprofits touch, we can really see change. I mean, I think that's a mountain of people who could be showing up advocating for these important issues.
Right. Well, we have Greg Borum here from Children First, Communities and Schools. And Greg, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I certainly appreciate, and I know our listeners appreciate the work that you're doing in our community. And thank you very much for being here with us today.
It's always a pleasure. I really appreciate the time to talk with you.
All right. We look forward to talking again.
Thanks so much.